Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
The foundation of our life, and from which we draw all our nutrients, His Word. We find answers there. We get direction there. That's what it means to abide in His Word. We seek our counsel there. We align everything that comes in and we filter it through His Word. We abide in His Word. There, instead of our own experiences, our own thoughts, our own feelings, our own fears, those are the residual resources that we have, those things that came with us in the bucket. We need to outgrow those.
A small sapling grows into a huge tree by sinking its roots deep into the soil. The soil sustains the tree, giving it not only stability, but also all its nutrients to grow. Abiding in God's Word does the same for you in your spiritual life. As you spend more time in His Word, you become immersed and anchored into it. It becomes your source of nutrients and your standard of truth for everyday life. Today, Pastor Troy helps you see the importance of abiding in God's Word to help you live the abundant life Jesus gives. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 8 as he continues his message, How to Live Life Abundantly.
The first step to living life abundantly is believing in Christ. It's foundational. A second we see here is continuing in His Word. Continuing in His Word. Notice verse 31. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, If you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed. If you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed. John loves that word abide. You know, in the whole New Testament, the word is used 34 times. 31 of them belong to John. John loves that word. You know, we all have favorite words, you know, that we'll use. Some of them are words that don't really matter, like awesome, you know, everything is awesome. But some words are rich, like abiding in Christ. Hey, do you love the Lord? My desire is to abide in Christ. It's deep. The word abide simply means to continue in or to be anchored to, or if you could imagine yourself just immersing yourself in something, it just covers and takes you over. That's to abide in, to be hidden by. To find your and draw your nutrients from. You're anchored like a tree that would root itself. And when a tree roots itself, guess what happens? It's established. When it's established, it starts to take its nutrients from the ground that it is so firmly rooted in. That's where it gets all of its nutrients going forward. You see, by the first step, believing, you make the initial contact. But there are lots of people who they believed in Him for His miracles. We see it throughout the scriptures. But then Jesus addresses and draws the seriousness of the line. What kind of belief is it? James even had, what kind of faith is it that you have? The demons believe, but do you follow? Are you a genuine believer? Do you believe in Him? The first step is believing, but you have to let the roots grow down. You have to root yourself in Him, abide in Him. When you plant a tree, it takes some time for the roots to actually lay hold in the ground. Did you know that? At first, that tree is very, very fragile. It could be plucked up and moved around. It's not really planted yet. You've planted it, but the tree itself has not rooted itself. At first, it's growing, but it's growing based upon the nutrients it already has in and of itself in its own packaging and container. So it hasn't yet really entrenched itself, rooted itself so that its nutrients, it's just part of the earth now. I remember we planted a tree when we first got our house. I didn't know all of this stuff. I've learned a lot. And so we bought a tree and, you know, it was a, you know, little skinny thing you could call a tree. It was going to be a tree one day. And so I plant this thing in the ground and you got to dig this. I'd never heard of this before, but you're supposed to dig a square hole. So anyway, dug a square hole. Dug my square hole and I put it in there and I covered it all. Well, that night we had a storm. See, the tree believed, but the tree was not entrenched. And so that night we had a storm and I looked out the window. I was worried about the tree, you know. Worried about I just planted the tree. It's a lot of work. And so then I look out there around, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm all concerned about the tree. And every now and then the lightning flashes and I could see the tree was like flat. It's like, oh man, my tree broke. And so I go outside the next day and what I discovered was the whole ball of the tree that I'd planted, it didn't break. It just rolled. So, you know, it wasn't firm. It wasn't rooted. It just was on its side. So really all I had to do was very moist and muddy was slide it back up, pack it back down. And then I learned you got to put like stakes down. You know, you got to tie the trees so that it stays up in those types of conditions. So those stakes are what we do at first to anchor ourselves to Christ. But then what happens is it's not we're anchored, we're just holding on because I really believe in him. But our roots go down and it's who we are. It's just who we are. You can never walk away from who you really are. And so continuing in his word is the process of the roots going down and establishing themselves. It's abiding in him is the only way the root system goes down. To abide in his word means you start growing your roots, but you start digging your roots into his word. Not into the earth, but into his word. His word becomes the foundation of our life and from which we draw all our nutrients. His word. We find answers there. We get direction there. That's what it means to abide in his word. We seek our counsel there. We align everything that comes in and we filter it through his word. We abide in his word. There, instead of our own experiences, our own thoughts, our own feelings, our own fears, those are the residual resources that we have. Those things that came with us in the bucket. We need to outgrow those. So, a disciple is learning to trust and obey the word of God over anything else, including their own feelings. And our feelings can be pretty deceptive, can't they? Our feelings feel things that aren't even there. That in our own mind, we create them. We hear a word, we catch a glance, and we go, what's happening? And I've got fears and thoughts, and oh no, what did I do? What did I say? And we're running down this trail, and they didn't even notice us. They weren't looking at us. They were looking beyond us at, oh, they changed the color of the candles. That's different. We saw that look and we thought, oh, what are they thinking of me? They didn't even know you were there that day. And yet we have run with these emotions and these feelings. They're not even true or justified. The enemy whispers into our mind, gives us a little nudge in a certain direction, and there we are. We need to know about him, that he exists, that he's there. So we're learning to trust and obey the Lord, his word over anything else. And thus we apply his word to daily decisions. We're learning to apply it to the choices that we make and what we do. We should all, as we mature and grow in the Lord, have at the foundation of the why we're doing what we're doing or why we're choosing what we're choosing, the foundation ought to be the word of God. That's where we're drawing all of our nutrients. It's where we're drawing all of our decisions from. And the result is that you begin to learn his ways. You can't learn them by theory. You got to learn them by practice. You have to go, man, this is what I would do, but I'm going to trust him. You do it and you go, wow, the wisdom of God. Man, God's ways are so right. And then you become even more established, more grounded, roots deeper and deeper, and you are becoming his disciple, a learner, a follower. A disciple is simply a learner. Are you letting go of what makes you comfortable? Letting go of the usual reactions, the usual decisions, the usual comforts that you find yourself choosing in day-to-day life in order to abide in his word, to be a disciple, a follower? See, let me tell you something. We're talking about living life abundantly. You do that, and this will set you on the course of an adventure in Christ unlike any other. It's like getting on the whitewater rapids, you know. Normally, we wouldn't choose to do that. But if the Lord says, I want you to do that, and our tendency is, no way, no way. I like it calm and simple and easy. You know what? The safest and best place for you is on those rapids. When we get in, the rapids of life, out of our comfort zone, not tethered to the shore anymore. And we're in the Lord's hands, on his waves. And that's living life abundantly. It's exciting. As a learner, you're also going to be a student. In verse 32, Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The third thing in this is knowing the truth. We want to live life abundantly, we need to know the truth. We need to know truth, not our idea of truth, but truth. Today, in the postmodern era, there is a belief, an idea, that truth is relative. Truth is relative. You see it one way, I see it a different way. Hey, this is what it says for me. And if that's what it says for you, well, that's fine. That's what it says for you. But do you see what happens? You start to remove the authority of the Word of God. Because I can make it say whatever I feel like it says for me.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second part of today's message, so be sure to stay tuned. If you'd like to listen to more teachings from Building on the Solid Rock, we invite you to visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. Pastor Troy has been teaching verse by verse through the Bible for a while. You can listen online to our archive of these messages. You can also download each teaching to listen to later or share with your friends and family. You can even subscribe to the Building on the Solid Rock podcast through iTunes. That way you'll never miss a teaching and you'll be notified as soon as we make these messages available. Find a link to subscribe when you visit buildingonthesolidrock.com. Now, here's Pastor Troy with the continuation of today's message.
You shall not commit adultery. Well, to me, that doesn't mean like physical relationships. We should all be free to love whoever. That's the way I see it. No, that adultery, idolatry, you know, I see it that way, symbolically. I can work my way out of anything the Bible may try to seize as authority upon my life. So we have to learn to acknowledge and accept truth. What's interesting is that those who believe that everything is relative, they are absolutely certain that nothing is absolutely certain. I mean, it's a self-defeating argument. How can you be absolutely certain that nothing's absolutely certain? Because that was a certain statement. So that's the only truth then? That's the only absolute truth? See, it's a self-defeating argument. What this leads to is the idea that tolerance, then, is the highest. Because you got to learn to let everyone interpret for themselves. I mean, if that's the way they saw it, who are you to judge? You have to learn to tolerate. Tolerance is key to a relativism kind of a world. You have to let people interpret for themselves. You have to let people see it the way that they see it. And we do away with absolute truth. You know, different people have different backgrounds, different feelings, different thoughts, different upbringings, and so you can't draw such strict lines when it comes to interpretation. Well, I believe that when Jesus said things, he actually meant something by it. He didn't go, let me just throw some words out there. Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear. Fuzzy Wuzzy had no hair. Fuzzy Wuzzy wasn't very fuzzy, was he? Take that however you want to. You go, well, I think that's talking about hair. The Bible's not like that. Jesus said what he meant, and he meant what he said. And he actually teaches us to do the same thing. He says, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Say what you mean. Don't hint at what you mean. Don't play games. Say what you mean, because anything other than that is from the evil one. And if what you mean you don't think you should say, maybe you shouldn't mean it either. Maybe you should check your heart on it. So, knowing truth. To come out and say that the truth is adultery is sin, some see as very narrow. You know why? Well, because there are so many factors. So many factors, Pastor. There's so many factors. You don't understand the way my spouse treats me. And I'm actually, we're in love. We're in love. See, that gets complicated. But what doesn't get complicated is this. Look, you're married. I don't care how they're treating you. You're married. Anything outside of that is adultery. And that is inappropriate and wrong. See, that's easy. That's clean. I think it's the way God intended, not for us to go, well, I know that's what God says, but there are factors. No factors. Truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free. So to say that there is no truth is to only confuse us from the path to freedom that Jesus invites us to. See, we are looking for political freedom, personal freedom so often, but we don't realize we need to find ourselves on the course for spiritual freedom, real life. Sadly, even the church is becoming very blurry when it comes to matters of truth. This is sad. Newsweek magazine had put out an article that said, 85% of those who call themselves Christians, Americans who call themselves Christians, and we know that's a very broad general term nowadays, but 85% of those who call themselves, identify as Christians, said that they also believe that theirs isn't the only way, there are other ways to heaven other than through Christ. Jesus himself said in John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The truth Jesus speaks about, the truth that will set you free, is truth about him. It all starts there. It's not like, that's blue, that's the truth. Oh, I'm so free now. No, it's truth about him. Who is he? And that truth, knowing about that truth, will set you free. It'll make a difference in your life. It's about abiding in him, knowing him. And here's how we know this, that this truth he speaks about is him. If you look at verse 32, it says, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But then in verse 36, replace the word truth. Watch this. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So, you see, religion doesn't save anyone. It can't. It never will. Being a religious person will never save, or the Jews would have not needed Christ. Religion doesn't save. See, religion is all about binding yourself to a set of rules, whatever those rules or expectations might be. But here's the weird thing about religion. You choose your religion. So you choose the rules you bind yourself to. And yeah, they can be a little strict at times, but you chose them. You chose that place. So that's the problem with religion. I've even heard some say, I'm looking for a church that teaches what I believe. Well, I understand the sentiment. I'm a Christian. I have certain values, and I'm looking for that church. But some take it really far. Oh, pastor said something I don't believe. I'm out of here. got to go find another church. You're never going to find that church. Because for all of us, there's something in the scriptures that comes in, that flies in the face of something we've kind of always held to. We're not all knowing. We've got our own experiences, and some of those are wrong. Some of the emotions we've attached ourselves or things we've anchored ourselves to, they're not right. It doesn't matter how long you've been walking either. We can get off course and see things maybe the wrong way through muddy lenses. And we need to center ourselves again back on Christ to see things the way that he sees them. So religion does not save. Knowing Jesus saves. A relationship with him. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Knowing him, knowing his word, which reveals his heart, and abiding in him, that frees you from everything else. You don't have to be in that wrong relationship because, oh, I find my sense of value and sense of love in this relationship. No, that's a lie. You don't have to be in that relationship when you know the Lord Jesus Christ himself values you and he loves you. I don't need that thing. We are free. We don't need more money. We don't need more of anything. We just need what God has given us because my value's in him. He doesn't see me as less because I have less money. He doesn't see me as less because I was too short to make the college football team. He doesn't see me as less for any reason. He has value in me. And that relationship with him, knowing him, brings life to us. See, that's living life. That's living abundant life, trusting in him, following him, pursuing him with all of your heart. So we believe in him, we abide in his word, we know the truth, knowing him, knowing his word in a deeper, more personal level. It gives us a right perspective about heaven and earth, what's important. Thus, you actually become more and more free. You know, freedom, we have a misconception about freedom. You actually become more free when you do follow the rules. When you let God kind of help run your life. You see, as a musician, one thing that you learn is there's a such thing as timing. There's a such thing as tempo. There's a such thing as beats. You know, all of this stuff. And in the beginning, you don't know that. You just think, I'm free, I'm going to do it my way, and you go, and you're free, and you do it your way. Timing, who cares? Tuning, who cares? No one's playing with me. So I didn't know if I was in tune. I could tell if my strings were in tune, but was I really in tune with anybody else? I didn't know. I didn't care. It was just me. So play, timing didn't matter until I got a drummer. And then I'm playing a certain song, and I'm switching. He's like, ah. I said, why do you keep stopping there? You're like cutting off a beat. You ain't cutting off a beat, man. I'm on. Just follow me, man. I'm the leader. But I had to learn. I couldn't be that free yet because that kind of freedom leaves me as an individual isolated by myself and no one can play with me. So what I have to learn are the rules. I have to learn the rules first. Tunes, pitches, all of that stuff, tuning. You get in there and you start playing and someone else, they're like, whew. Man, my instrument doesn't sound right. Something's wrong. Your attitude. You're flat. All your strings are flat. Instrument sounds fine, but your whole tuning is flat. They're like trying to figure it out. So you got to tune. See, only after you've tuned yourself and learned how to run within the bounds that are given can you truly experience freedom.
We're so glad you joined us today for Pastor Troy's teaching in the Book of John. If you'd like to hear today's message again, visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you'll also find an archive of previous messages from Pastor Troy, as well as information about this radio ministry, Building on the Solid Rock. You might be interested in the church behind this ministry as well, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to meet you and have you come be a part of our weekly services. For the latest service times, please visit our website. You'll find a link to Calvary Chapel Solid Rock at buildingonthesolidrock.com. From all of us on the production team at Building on the Solid Rock, we'd like to say thank you for tuning in today. We pray you continue to seek God during these times of uncertainty and that you explore what He wants to teach you in His Word. Join us again as Pastor Troy continues sharing from the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come have.